Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Salini Impregilo full year 2015 financial results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabrizio Rossini, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Arianna. Good evening and good morning to everyone. Thank you for joining Salini Impregilo full year 2015 financial results conference call. I'm Fabrizio Rossini, Head of Investor Relations. Hosting the call today is Pietro Salini, CEO. Also joining him on the call is Massimo Ferrari, CFO and General Manager, and Alessandro De Rosa, Deputy General Manager. Before we start our call, let me remind you of the usual housekeeping safe harbor notice. Any forward-looking statements embedded in today's presentation are based on our current expectations and planning assumptions, subject to risks and uncertainties. The actual results may differ materially due to the factors mentioned in the press release issued today and discussed in this call. Let me also remind you that an MP3 file will be available shortly after the call and can be accessed through the Investor Relations section of our website. Now I would like to turn over the call to Pietro Salini, our Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, Pietro.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and for those in a different time zone, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking part in this 2015 earnings conference call. Before we examine our results, I would like to give you a quick snapshot of our major projects under construction around the world. They will give you a good idea of where we are present, what we are doing, and how close we are to completing these projects, and the capacity of our group to manage such complex projects and deliver it. Let's start with the first slide showing a project that you are probably all familiar with. It is one of our major construction sites, the famous Panama Canal. You see that in slide three, which is a very recent snapshot of it. We could say that this project needs no introduction. It's one of the biggest engineering feats in the world. Its impact on world trade will be extremely relevant. The new canal will be significantly bigger than the original one built a century ago. It will allow for the passage of bigger ships, the so-called post-Panamax, which have a volume capacity three times as big as those passing through the original canal today. It's an understatement when I say that the new canal will improve global trade. It will, for instance, make it much easier for the United States to export gas to Asia from the Atlantic. Presently, the project is completed more than 96%. We have completed all the construction work, conducted a battery of tests on the gates, and the test results have been approved by the client. We are now in the final stages of the project, equipping the electronics for the mechanical installations. Navigation testing will start soon, probably in April or beginning of May. Inauguration of the canal is expected by the June or start of July. Go to slide four. You see a picture of the Riyadh Metro. The Riyadh Public Transport Project is probably the world's largest public transportation system under development today. It is valued, the total of all the lines that are under execution now, that's $23.5 billion. It will have six mostly underground metro lines running a total of around 180 km. Salini Impregilo in its consortium are building the longest line, which will stretch for about 40 km and have 22 stations. The value of the contract is around $6 billion. Our work, it was 14.3 complete by December 31, 2015, and we will respect the series of milestones set for this year. The political situation in the country is stable, and we do not foresee any difficulties arising in the execution of the project. The entire metro system is set to open in 2018. Slide five, Red Line of Doha. The Doha Metro project concerns the construction of the city's first metro systems. At a cost of 84.6 billion Qatari riyals, the project is part of the Qatar National Vision 2030, the blueprint to diversify the economy and make it less dependent on fossil fuels. The Doha Metro will have three lines covering some 80 kilometers with 37 stations. It will serve the city and suburbs. It will open in 2019, and by 2021, it is expected to handle 640,000 passengers per day. Salini Pregiri and its partners are working one of the northern section of one of the three lines called the Red Line. This northern section will run for 13 kilometers and have seven stations. The value of the contract for our section is equivalent to about 2 billion euros. As of December 31, 2015, work was 26.6 complete. I'm going this weekend to celebrate the final breakthrough of the TBM on our project with the local authority. If you go to slide 6, we have the Ethiopia, Great Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, which is Ethiopia is an amazing development story. In the last 5 years, its economy has grown faster than any other country in Africa. The IMF estimates it grew by 11.2% in 2015. It has many ambitions for the next 5 years, such as becoming a manufacturing hub while at the same time reducing its greenhouse emissions. This country's development is based on a number of pillars: education, health, agriculture, infrastructure, energy, and urban development. Salini Pregiri is contributing to this development, especially in energy. One of our projects worth mentioning is this one, the GER, Great Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, with a capacity of 6,000 megawatts, let's say more than eight nuclear plants altogether, if you look at the capacity installed, when completed, and will be the largest hydroelectric dam in Africa. Located in the Beni Shangul in Gumuz region on the Blue Nile River, it will house 16 turbines, each with a generation capacity of 375 megawatts of electricity. The value of the contract has reached more than $3.6 billion. At the end of 2015, it was 50.3% completed. Our other hydroelectric dam, the Gibe III, is more than 97% completed, 1,800 megawatts already in operation. Five turbines of it are already producing energy for the country. After this very quick, if you go to slide 7, we see also what we have done into these first 2 years of the business plan. After this very quick snapshot on some of our principal projects and how they've been progressing, let's review also how we have been performing. As I have often mentioned to you, our business is better measured over a multi-year span rather than in quarters. We've now 2 years behind since the merger with Impregilo and the start of our current business plan back in 2014. We can now take a look back and see how well we did over this time span, while Massimo will lead you through the performance achieved this last year. Looking at just our organic internal growth, we can be proud of having managed to successfully grow our top line by 25% in the last 2 years. The environment where we realized this growth was not an easy one, as proven by the fact that over the same time span, our fees on average have grown only 5%. In the same period, our EBITDA and EBIT grew even faster, at 35% and 29% respectively. What is even more striking is that we managed to reach those results while at the same time preserving a very strict financial discipline, closing last year with a net debt position very close to zero. But we have not stopped there, and besides having grown our group revenues organically by a quarter in just 2 years, we have added another 30% of external growth thanks to Lane acquisition. Ultimately, our top line has grown from 3.8 billion to around 6 billion. Basically just 1 billion short of our 4-year target after just 2 years of performing our plan. Let me clarify now straight away that sheer growth has never been our primary or only focus. Besides reaching a global dimension that put us in the same league with our main competitors, In these 2 years, we also rebalanced the geographical exposure of our group, lowering the risk profile and favoring growth in more stable countries. We also worked hard to optimize our business model, streamlining central cost functions, reorganizing procurement, introducing more efficient working capital control procedures and resource management processes. Today, we can count not only on a much larger group, which has also shown its capability to successfully grow both internally as well as externally, but also a much more efficient management and business organization supported by an extremely solid capital structure. We are now ready to take on new challenges and further expansion, looking at the new targets on profitable growth and cash generation, while preserving a disciplined control of our risk environment and a sound financial policy. I leave now the floor to Massimo Ferrari for the commentary of our business and financial performance. Thank you, Massimo.
Thank you, Pietro. Let's start with the slide 9 with the new orders and the commercial activity. In 2015, we collected about 5.4 billion of new orders, including variation orders and share increases. Among the most important order, two projects in Qatar for more than 1 billion, one for the construction of the stadium in the city Al Bayt Al Khor in Qatar, and the other for the construction of primary infrastructure facilities in Shamal. One project in Georgia at Neskra of about 575 million euro to design and build an hydroelectric plant. We have been very active on the commercial activity during 2015. Indeed, we submitted around 80 tenders. Today, we are still waiting for the outcome for more than 20 tenders for a total amount of 24 billion. And we are currently preparing around 30 tenders. The total backlog at the end of December 31st, in the slide 10, we reached 33.3 billion euro, of which 26.2 billion related to construction and 7 billion to concession. A backlog across segments and regions that covers 5.5 times the current revenues provides high visibility on future results. And moreover, we worked to de-risk our backlog. Indeed, from 2014 to 2015, our exposure to projects in low-medium risk countries has increased from 67% to almost 70% in 2015, while corresponding the high critical risk backlog declining from 33% to 30%. After the acquisition of Lane, whose projects are in a very low risk region, our low-medium risk ratio will further increase to about 72% starting from January 2016. As you can see in the slide 11, consolidated revenues totaled 4.7 billion euro with an increase of 11.7% versus previous year. The contribution of revenues by region shows a distribution by countries that follows the de-risking policies implemented in the backlog. Therefore, we have 25% of contribution from Africa projects, 19 in Middle East, another 20 from Europe, excluding Italy, 15 from the Americas, 14 by Italian projects, and finally, a 7% from Asia and Australia. EBITDA and EBIT were higher than the previous year, respectively, of 13.7% and 11.3%. Both margins include non-recurring costs, of approximately 18 million euro related to the cost of the reorganization to pursue the business plan synergy targets and to extraordinary transaction cost. The profitability on sales amounted to an EBITDA margin 10.3% and EBIT margin 5.8%, while excluding non-recurring cost, adjusted margins were respectively 10.6% and 6.1%. Thanks to the increase of profitability and to the optimization of the financial structure, EBT 2015 shows a notable improvement compared to the previous year of approximately 71 million in absolute terms, up 63%. Net profit before minorities amounted to 82.2 million versus 103 million in 2014. The higher tax rate at the consolidated level come from non-recurrent items. The average tax paid in the last 2 years was around 35 million euro per year. As for the comparison with the 2014 net profit, let me remind the positive effect coming from the Fisia Babcock disposal in 2014 that was around 85 million euro. In the slide 12, you can see the net debt from continuing operation that was 26.7 million, showing a reduction versus the net debt of December 2014 equal to 62.5 million. The net debt equity ratio was equal to 0.02, with a significant improvement compared to 31 December 2014, and excluding the Todini's disposal effect would have been zero. The increase of gross debt of about 400 million is mainly due to support the operation growth and is for one-third directly located to the projects. Regarding the capital structure, we already started the preparatory work in order to take advantage of upcoming market windows. We will have and we will keep a proactive approach in order to mitigate the short-term market risk and the refinancing risk on upcoming maturities. Let's also review the results in the slide 13 of our financial policies that brought significant improvement over last year. The average cost of total gross debt, including bond, thanks to the renegotiation of existing medium long-term debt, at the end of December was reduced from 5.3 to 3.8, excluding the bond. The interest average rate declined even further to 2.5%. Bank charges alone were reduced by nearly 20 million to 41.8 million, a decline of 31%. The financial charges include capitalized cost for about 18 million in 2015 versus about 23 million in 2014. Regarding the corporate credit rating, we are proud to underline that last year Standard & Poor's upgraded us to BB+ rating, while we also received a new rating from the Dagong Agency with a rating of BB+. All the rating agencies issued a stable outlook. Our goal remains that of reaching investment grade rating. The slide 14 shows the cash flow bridge starting from the net financial position statutory of December 2014, it's very important to underline that we achieved an operating capability to generate cash and also capability to generate free cash flow already in 2015. The path to generate free cash flow while growing double digit has started in advance with the expectation that we had in the business plan. I leave the floor to Pietro for the closing remarks.
Before we go to question and answers, let me say, just summarize what are the key message for the group this year. We deliver solid delivery on our business plan targets for 2015, significantly reduced net debt and lowered financial costs, completed the acquisition of Lane Industry, thus positioning our company in a stable and growing market, successful disposal of Tutini Construction Generali, which means that we can now focus our activities on other areas, strengthened internal management structure and active risk management. Market of reference evolving and still growing. We have a very good market in front of us. We have also proved in these 2 years our ability to deliver the largest project into the world and to successfully complete them. I think that's all for this results, and I leave now the floor to Rossini for taking the questions that you may have on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Pietro. Thank you, Arianna. We can now open the floor to questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Giuseppe Mapelli of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening. I have some questions. The first one is on Venezuela. Can you update us on what kind of impact had Venezuela in 2015 and also an indication of what is the remaining exposure towards this country? My second question is on Lane. If you can give us even rough figures on what was 2015 for Lane in order to understand what at least would be revenues, EBIT, and maybe also bottom line for that company. And then my last question is on Panama Canal. We understood that you are going to deliver the contract in June or July. Maybe you can give us also an update on the arbitrate that are going on and what is the likelihood of success, timing, and everything that you can share with us would be great. Thank you.
Well, Massimo, before you answer to the numbers, I would say something about Panama and the claims history. I think that this is the question you put on us. I think we have a very long process on these claims and tribunal issues. We keep you updated when it's necessary on the results of the trials, but it takes some time. So you may remember that we gave to the market an information that the claims of this contract will be settled in, let's say, later than 2018. So it means that it takes time. So far, we have had also some good results from the DEB, which means that we have also had some minor claims resolved in our favor. We didn't give that information specifically, and we are waiting for other claims to be judged in the next coming couple of months of some importance. So let's say that on the claim history, we have a very good thing that the project is achieved, which of course gives to the client the ability to earn an important amount of money per month. The traffic tariff that are foreseen into the canal is around $400 million per month. So this means that that a client who has such profit and revenues coming from the canal, which is achieved, will be, let's say, more interest to give a conclusion or to the litigation and to cut it short. This is our opinion. Thank you. Massimo.
Regarding the Venezuela, the contribution to the 2015 numbers was very low in terms of revenues and EBITDA, some 10 millions. In terms of cash, it's very important to underline that with the Tocoma project, we cashed in 2015 a total amount in equivalent euro that is 258 million euro. The contribution of Tocoma dams at equity level. The other question regarding Lane, we can just provide you a rough number in terms of revenues because we will approve the financial results next week in dollars terms, including the work under management. Lane had 1 billion and 400 million euro of revenues.
In dollars.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Giuseppe. Arianna, next question, please.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora with Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. Good evening to everybody. I have four questions, if I may. Sorry, the first one I didn't catch on Lane. You said the contribution in terms of sales from Lane. If you can also give me an idea what is the contribution at EBIT level for Lane. The second question is on gross debt evolution compared to the previous years. We registered, an increase at the gross debt level. I would like to understand what's your view on this item, if you are going to address this increase in gross debt through an optimization of the debt structure through a bond issue, or you are, satisfied with the current debt you have versus the banks. The third question is on CapEx. I would like to have an idea of what's your view on this CapEx for 16. And then the last question is on just some accounting items. First of all, it's the tax rate. If you can better clarify what is and how we got this high level of tax paid in 15 and also recurring tax rate for 16. And also on the financial side, the financial charges side, if you can also give us an idea what is one-off or some Forex impact that you had in 15. Thanks.
So, thank you. Many questions. Let me start with the CAPEX. The CAPEX for 2015 was around 300 million, as you can see, but 50 million comes from the acquisition of the shares of the Method of Riyadh. So, the net number, the CAPEX, the real CAPEX that we, the cost for us, was 250, that is in line with the expectation that we had for the 2015 and in line with the business plan expectation. You remember that we had a conservative number of around 400 million and we told that should be lower than that. 240, 250, it's the right number considering the increase that we had with some big and important projects.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Regarding the gross debt, we are confident with this amount of gross debt that comes also from the fact that we have a different location of debt and cash. We increased a lot also the cash amount that we have in the balance sheet, that is located mainly in big project in Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of disalignment needs the variation, explains the variation of the gross debt. Regarding Lane, I just confirm the total revenues. We will disclose the full number for 2015 when we are going to present the new business plan, that because the 2015 number for Lane will become the basis for the new business plan in the pro forma representation. Regarding the tax rate, is it just coming from one-off, no recurrent effect? There is an effect coming from the reduction from IRES. We put some advanced tax, so we had to discharge this imposte anticipate in order to align to the new tax rate. Then we have also the effect of some devaluation in the separate account that provide some other effects.
Mr. Ferrari, sorry, the impact of the deferred tax assets due to the lower IRES is in the region of?
Region around 10 million.
Okay. And then on the financial charges, net of, let's say, excluding the net recurring, okay, financial charges, the gap compared to the number that I see is owing mainly to which items, because I don't see the detail in the press release.
Sorry, Alessandro.
You are meaning the difference between 2014 and 2015 numbers. In 2014, there were the effect of the devaluation of the bolivares. So it's mainly a currency effect in the previous numbers.
Okay. So the number that I see in 15, the full year 15, the around 90 million for you, is can be considered recurring net financial charges, or, sorry, you have some one-off in this item?
That's right, including currency, the currency net effect. The only bank financial charges is around, if I not remember wrong, 60 million. That's right.
So basically, you had a negative impact from Forex in the region of 30.
Around 16 million of net Forex effect.
Okay, 16, 1, 6.
1-6.
Okay.
1-6.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alessandro. Arianna, next question.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone. The next question is from Francesco Sala of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, just a question again on the gross debt. I'm just wondering whether you expect this imbalance between gross debt and cash to go down. I mean, if we can expect a decrease in the gross debt in the next few quarters, or is something we can see when once these big projects in the Middle East are completed? Thank you.
Yes, there are some room of improvement in the next months, but I think we can be more precise with the new business plan, because of course the gross debt will be an issue very important.
Thank you, Francesco.
The next question is from Ken Tu of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my questions. First off, wanted to start off with the new order book. It looks like it's come down quite a bit from, I think, about $6.5 billion for full year 14 to $5.4 billion for 15. And so excluding the Lane acquisition, I'm trying to understand kind of what explains the significant drop-off in your pre-existing business. So that would be my first question. Secondly, I was wondering if you could maybe give us a little more color on what you're seeing on the development of advance payments, excluding the Riyadh project. And then kind of related to the new order book, but I was wondering if you could give some forward guidance as far as how you see margins developing, because per my expectations or understanding, it looks like Lane has about a 5% EBITDA margin, and if your existing order book is not growing at the same pace it has before, it seems to me that might suggest some margin compression across the bulk of your business. And then lastly, I was wondering if maybe you could just give a breakdown of the working capital exposure you have to Venezuela, Argentina, and Libya.
Let's start for the order book. I would say to you that we are still under construction our business plan, so I cannot give you details about what will be the cash position or other data on the new business plan, because we will do that as soon as possible. I expect that not over April. But for the repositioning of the company in U.S., this is a fact, in the sense that we have now a company which we just told has a size of around $1.5 billion in terms of revenues and very stable. They have three segments in which they operate, which is number one is the asphalt production, which is a very stable and expanding activity for them, which accounts at, let's say, around a third of their turnover. They have another activity, which is the small projects that are related to the maintenance of roads and that also capitalize on the numbers of plants they have around the U.S. and can be successful, and also the large project to which we added the capability and segment diversification that Eley had before, a company that we already owned in U.S. So we are now putting all together and organizing the company to work not only on the field of highways and asphalt and maintenance, but also to expand their activity using the technical experience of Eley and us in other segments like water tunneling and metro and high velocity train, which we can of course develop. We think that the U.S. market is booming, and that a company like us that is highly specialized in heavy civil engineering will have a lot to do. So also taking into account the large investment that the federal government is making on the FAST Act, which has been delivered and decided by the government, that adds $305 billion in the next 4 years to improve the quality of the transport system, road transport system. I think that this company is very well positioned to have a large chunk, or let's say a significant share of this new booming market. So to us, the new business plan, just to give you some rough idea, it is named De-Risking the Future, which means basically have the same company but with a different and better grade risk profile and more solid financials with the same growth. So we think that Lane will add to us a very good visibility in a very stable and safe market. You imagine that already now we are a group that, let's say, with some years of 1 year at least of in advance of what it was foreseen, is already reaching the size that was forecasted for the end of 2016 and more than that. And also positioned in a different way. If you look at the diversification of the the areas in which we operate, we are going to have more than 25% into the U.S. market, into the future revenue. So I think that the entire business plan will take note of that, and will of course be focused on how to better develop our U.S. franchise now, in terms of putting our resources and to exploit that market at the maximum possible extent. We are now, for the numbers of contracts that we have and for the people we have in that market, let's say more a U.S.-based company than an Italian-based company. If you think that we make much more in that area of what we do around the world, then it's a number one market, but it's also something that changes the entire attention of the entire management to what is important or relevant to the group. Our ability to deliver the project, as we show in these 2 years, the largest project, is also very beneficial to this, let's say, new initiative in the U.S., because, of course, there is a need for making and renovating numbers of infrastructure that is very important for the country.
But isn't that a lower margin business? And by growing the U.S. business so much, won't that, by definition, reduce your group margins?
Well, this is not absolutely true, in the sense that there are contracts which are significantly marginally interesting as the one that can be in much riskier areas, because of course there is, as you know, U.S. is not a global market; it's a market mostly related to state company that operates only on the state footprint. So there are very few global companies in the U.S., very few of them, but they all work with us. And I think there is a very limited competition, and more than that, a very limited expertise in doing very large and complex projects. As you know, U.S. has built most of their infrastructure, let's say, most of their bridges are over 100 years old. And this means that there are no more companies that have built most of the infrastructure are presently alive. So I think that this is a very promising and interesting market for a competent company like we are, and we can really leverage and also maintain a good profile of marginality, even being in a safer place.
Okay.
Let me answer to the other question. Regarding the advance, the down payment, we do not have a significant change in terms of balance, net of some extraordinary items regarding the share increase in some works, like the method of Riyadh, and also the acquisition of Selly Tunneling that we made in 2015. In the early 2015, the balance is pretty neutral. We collected, obviously, some down payment from the new jobs, from the Metro of Riyadh, from the Qatar Stadium, the Red Line, the City Ringen of Copenhagen, and we repaid some advances to some other jobs that we are performing from some years. In terms of incidents of Libya, Argentina, we do not have any working capital effect from Libya and Argentina in terms of variation, nor in terms of stocks. In terms of variation, we do not have also effect from Venezuela. The stock of total credit in Venezuela is around 200 million euro.
But as far as the actual growth between receivables and stock, can you just give us a number, a rough approximation of how much of that working capital that you report on your balance sheet is represented by each of those countries?
Yes.
For the variation, just kind of the
yes.
approximate quantum.
We can provide it. It's a detailed representation that we can provide you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Arianna, next question, please.
The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Tortora with Mediobanca. Please go ahead. Mr. Tortora, your line is open.
Yes, do you hear me? Yes. Yes, hi. Good evening again. Sorry, two brief follow-up from my side, if I may. The first one is again, sorry, on the gross debt, but also let's say decision, okay, to allocate locally and to keep locally the liquidity. I would like to understand from a financing standpoint if it's just a matter related to local financing that maybe is much more expensive than the one that the company may have, okay, at the central level. The second question is on Australia, because clearly we are talking about a lot on the US, but if I understood well, the company is also very well positioned in some potential new orders in Australia, so I would like to have also the view of Mr. Pietro on this, let's say, market, if he's also a market that could become quite important for the group. Thanks.
Let's start to the market view so that my colleagues are making calculations and
yes,
provide you with the addition or multiplication.
Yes.
But market view is easy in the sense that you may have recently have some information from the press that we have successfully been selected as preferred bidder for an important infrastructure in Australia. We think that Australia will be one of the most promising markets for us. It's a very important market, a lot of very large infrastructure, and I see that our experience and capability is very much appreciated. So I think that that Australia, which was a little bit more, let's say, more difficult to develop as for our expectation.
Mm-hmm.
We had to work harder than that was foreseen and to deploy, let's say, a little bit more time in order to understand the market. I think that now catching the results of this couple of years of efforts in putting seeds everywhere and preparing ourselves especially to team up with the different local companies and to be perceived as a stable player on the market. So at the beginning, I think that they were a little bit more thinking that we would have a project and then maybe lose the pitch on the country or maybe change our ideas, but we now feel that it's much more, let's say, a field of operation for us. And so even the peers that they were there, I did not mention them, started to understand that it is better to team up with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And regarding the gross debt located in other countries, this come also from the opportunity to match the exposure in local currency.
Mm.
And the variation between 2014 and 2015 is some 10 million, is not so huge.
Mm-hmm.
The total gross debt we mentioned many times before, we are always committed to optimize the balance between cash and gross debt.
Mm-hmm.
And probably in the business plan, the new business plan, we'll have some news that we would like to address in a more long-term period.
Okay, yes.
Thank you, Alessandro, again. Arianna, next question, please.
The next question is from Grégoire Thibault of Natixis. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I have two remaining questions. The first one is regarding Todini. Maybe I missed that during the conf call, but I think you sold a part of the business in January, and notably the activity in Eastern Europe or Kazakhstan. Or can you just remind us how much did you sell this business, and what's the remaining business of Todini that you keep at this stage, and do you want to sell the remaining business in Italy and in North Africa? That's the first question. The second question is regarding your dividends policy. Could you just remind us what's your policy in terms of dividend distribution? Thank you.
Well, let's start with the dividend policy. As you have seen, we were a little bit more generous this year in respect to the net profits pertaining to our shareholders, and this is due to the fact that we had, let's say, a little better results in terms of cash position, net financial position. So we thought that it was possible to have a lesser strict policy in terms of dividend payout. And we think that these things can also be reflected into the, let's say, the data that we will provide to the market for our business plan in the next future. The second question about Todini, Massimo will give you the details, we remain only with minor things in terms of activity. We kept certain numbers of, let's say, credit from the past that we still have to manage. As you may know, we have to recover a certain number of amounts from the past, which requires no management. So we're not useful to sale at discount when we think that we will cash for the whole of it. They're all related to states or government, and this requires an activity that we know very well how to do. So the activity in terms of cash, we will cash around 50 million from the sale, which is foreseen to be closed into the next coming weeks, and so we have to take into our books all the numbers without taking this 50 million as credit in terms of net financial position. So the net financial position will benefit of that 50 million just when they will be cashed in. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Arianna?
Mr. Rossini, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Mr. Salini, do you want to make any concluding remarks?
No, thank you to follow us and see you soon for the data of the new business plan that will be for us very important and very interesting to you to know. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes our call for today. We thank everybody for your participation and wish you all a pleasant day or evening. Thank you.